Today's scripture comes from Luke 5, 33 through 39. Then they said to him, John's disciples, like the disciples of the Pharisees, frequently fast and pray, but your disciples eat and drink. Jesus said to them, you cannot make wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them, can you? The days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they can fast in those days. He also told them a parable. No one tears a piece from a new garment and sews it onto an old garment. Otherwise, the new will be torn, and the piece from the new will not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the spilled, and the skins will be destroyed. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, desires new wine, but says, the old is good. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Thanks. I always look forward to Jack's coming, usually every year. Sometimes it's not every year, but quite often. Jack is no stranger to us here at Bethel Church or in our conference. Jack is the executive director of Pecomoth Camp and Retreat Ministries, where he has served since 2000. 13 years. He is an ordained elder in the United Methodist Church and has served as pastor of churches in Port Deposit, Maryland, and Chesapeake City, which is his hometown. He also serves on the conference care team, vision team, and was a clergy delegate to the 2012 General and Jurisdictional Conferences. He served as president of the International Association of Conference Center Administrators from 2003 to 2007, and he is the chair of the United Methodist National Camp and Retreat Committee, and he will be chairing that committee soon. Jack's bio goes on and on and on. I'll let him talk more about himself and his ministry in just a moment. He's here today with his lovely wife, Jody, and of 30 years, I might add. They have four children, Megan, Aaron, Karen, and Kellen. Jack plays guitar, all kinds of sports, cooking, reading, traveling, and most of all, seeing people experience spiritual renewal and growth. Jack is a dear friend, a colleague in ministry, and a former mentor, but I tell him he'll always be a mentor type to me. I've learned a lot from Jack, and he gave me some really godly advice one time that I think saved my life spiritually. He doesn't know much about that, but I do, and the Lord knows. So anyway, let's give Jack a real warm welcome this morning. Jack Chitama.
I was actually thinking about that on the way down. Yeah, that's between you and me, though. Good morning. It's good to be with you. I can't remember when I was here last, but I enjoy coming and visiting churches because I get to share about Pecomoth. And I do like to preach, but the main reason I'm here is so that you know about your camp here in the Peninsula Delaware Conference. So I'm going to do that first, and then I'll do a brief message. I'm glad to see there's a clock up there, because that'll kind of keep me moderated. And I do want to share first, because I visit a lot of churches, maybe 20 to 25 churches a year. And I just think that you should be reminded about the gift you have in your music program. We actually had our church musician over last night for the church I attend for dinner. And she was saying, you know, she's talking about going to the ministry. And she said, well, you know, when I go, they're going to have to split my job into two, because not many people can do a traditional program and a contemporary program, play electric guitar in our band. And so you have that here, and I think you should be grateful. So, how many of you have been to Pecomoth before? Okay, a good number. If you have, you know what a beautiful place it is. I like to say it's really God's gift to our annual conference. And I didn't have anything to do with that. It preceded me by many, many years. It was back in 1946 when a group of people with a vision purchased 10 acres on Booker's Wharf on the Chester River near Centerville, Maryland, for $10,000. And it's since expanded. We now have 275 acres. We have fields and farmland and forests and 4,000 feet of shoreline, and it's just an amazing place. It's sacred ground. Our vision at Pecomoth is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world through Christ-centered peace and play in our unique Eastern Shore setting. And the first half of that vision statement is this vision statement for the United Methodist Church. It's to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And when I first heard that in 2008, I'm like, yes, that is what we're about. Not just connecting people to Jesus, but doing it in a way so that they can go out and change the world for Jesus. But what we'd like to say at Pocomoth is that our unique contribution in that, our partnership with you, is peace and play. If you've been to Pocomoth, you know what I mean. When you set foot on the property, you experience God's peace in a way that does truly surpass all understanding. There's something about being out in creation, being in the beauty of the natural world, that helps one experience God firsthand. And the play part, people often think of children. They think of summer camp. But Jesus said, unless you are like a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so for us, play means having a childlike heart. It means having a heart that's open to what God can do in our lives, even now. And so we invite people to come, and we provide hospitality and programming for people of all ages so that they can connect with God in ways that will transform them, so they can transform the world. You may, your past Pastor Fred mentioned that we have an adult retreat center. You may or may not know about that. I think the last time I was here, we were talking about building it. It's a new facility that sits within 300 feet of the Chester River and has 24 hotel-style rooms, 4 meeting rooms, and 125-person dining room. So the rooms, the hotel rooms, it's not bunk beds, queen beds, 2 queen beds in a room. And private bathrooms. I like to tell people, imagine getting up in the middle of the night and not having to walk outside to go to the bathroom. We understand that adults are different nowadays. They want to sleep in a real bed. They want comfort. They don't need to be pampered. But to be in a place set apart where you're not distracted by those types of things so that you can focus on God, we think is our gift to you. So we want to invite you to come on a church retreat, plan a church retreat, to come to one of our programs. We have a silent retreat week planned this summer. We have a single parent family camp that's going to stay in the retreat center. We have friends and family camp where you can stay in cabins or stay in the retreat center. This coming fall, what are some of the programs? We have a monastic day apart. The programs go on and on and on, and it's there for you to connect with God so that God can use you to change the world. You can go on our website, and I don't know if you're going to pull the website up, but there's a link that says Pocomoth Programs. You can find out all about that, or plan your program. You can find out about the retreat center. But this page is our summer fun page, and I always like to finish with camp because I think it's the most important thing because it's where kids start in their relationship with God. And we like to say a lifetime at Pocomoth, so it starts with kids. In fact, during children's discipleship time, I was looking there saying, wow, look at all those campers. You know, you can start coming to camp after first grade. We call it mini camp. It's 3 days and 2 nights, and it's an opportunity for parents to get used to sending their child away. See, the kids are ready, but it's kind of like it's starter camp for mommies and daddies who are just like, I don't know if I can send my kid away. And our programs run all the way up through 11th grade, those who have completed 11th grade. And what I like to tell people is that's why it says summer fun. Camp is fun. We have fun like you cannot imagine. We do stuff on the river, around the river. We do arts and crafts. We have a great swimming pool with a big water slide. We do music time like you wouldn't believe. It's just, camp is fun. But camp is more than that. Camp is something that makes a difference in a child's life for a lifetime. The first thing is they make friends in a couple days, and those friendships last forever. I was at a church in Berlin a few years ago, and the woman who invited me to come and make the presentation greeted me at the door, and she said, I was just on the phone yesterday with a friend I made at camp from Wilmington 50 years ago. In 1 week, you make friendships that are deep. And it's because of the time they spend together worshiping God, having fun, and connecting in Christian community. Now, I like to tell people that nowadays, camp is countercultural. Because camp is not what people think of when they're thinking of what my child's going to do for the summer, or even what a child thinks of. In fact, a recent survey said the number one thing that a child wants to do in the summer is go on a cruise. Well, that's the number one thing I want to do, too. But it kind of shows you how life has changed in our culture. But camp is still relevant because camp makes a difference in a child's life that it has opportunities they don't get anywhere else. Just a few things. When was the last time you heard of a child who played outside all day, let alone for a week? The radius of play for a child has gone from a mile, when I was growing up, to 500 feet. Now, we get that, right? We just can't let children wander anymore. But what's missing when a young person doesn't have the opportunity to be outside, to be safe, and to wander in God's creation? Camp offers that. Now, if you're a teenager and you're thinking about coming to camp, I don't want to scare you away, okay? But I'm going to say this. When was the last time that you saw a young person not do this for a whole day or a whole week? Excuse me, somebody just messaged me on Facebook. Sorry. No. I mean, it's our life nowadays, right? But we ask campers to unplug so that they can plug into God. So they leave their cell phones at home, they leave their iPods at home, they check Facebook, and they're like, how am I going to make it through the week? And when Friday comes, they don't want to leave because of the fun, because of the friendship, and most of all because of the fellowship with God, the connection with God that they make. So that's what we offer. We want to encourage you to send your children from this church to camp. You heard Pastor Fred tell you that there's scholarship help available from Bethel Church, and we offer scholarship help as well. We'll offer $150 to any child, any family that needs it, for as many kids in the family as needed, because we don't want any child to be denied camp for financial reasons. Now, I'm going to share with you, because when I go to a church, I always make a shameless plug. First of all, I want to share with you what one young woman wrote about her camp experience. She said, I just wanted to say thanks so much for helping me pay for going to camp. It was the best 2 weeks of my life, and I'm not even kidding. I think Camp Pocomith would have to be the best camp ever. I learned about God, Jesus, and accepting others more. Camp Pocomith has changed my life. I don't know what I'd do if I didn't go there. I feel like I'm a different person in a way. The counselors are great, the food is good, and the songs that we sing during music time are the best. I love being there. It makes me feel like I'm in another world. You don't have to worry about anything when you are there. Now, it's been a long time since I've been a young person, but I'm willing to say that to be in a place where you don't have to worry about anything nowadays is rare, and it's a gift. So here's my shameless plug. If you would like to give to our campership fund or to help support our ministry, after the service, I'll be in the back. I'll have our giving envelopes. They have our address on there. And you can take it home. You can pray about it. And you can mail it in, put a stamp on it. But if you give us a gift of $25 or more today, I'll give you a reusable Pocomith shopping bag. Now, I'm going to share a secret with you. You can go down to Walmart and get one of these or something like this for about 99 cents. But you can get one from me today for 25 bucks. And it's a deal. It's a real deal. Because it'll make a difference in the life of a young person that you'll probably never meet. Now, I want to just stop here and say, because I wouldn't normally say this, but since we have the Nanticoke Indian Mission here, I want to make sure that you give generously to that during the communion offering. And then if you decide you want to give to Pocomith, you can do that. I know that not everybody feels led to give. I know that not everybody's able to give. But it does make a difference, and that difference does last a lifetime, and sometimes it lasts for all eternity. Oh, I don't need that. Okay. All right, now I'm going to preach for a few minutes. So Jesus was annoying the Pharisees. If you read the Gospels, he does that a lot. But in this case, it was because he was having dinner at Matthew's house, Levi's house. Levi had just been called. And there were, as the text says, tax collectors and others. But as the Pharisees said, tax collectors and sinners. So we don't know who these others were, but according to the Pharisees, they were presumably unsavory people. And so because they're annoyed, they ask Jesus a question, and they're trying to trap him. They say, you know, our disciples fast and pray. John the Baptist's disciples fast. How come your disciples eat and drink? How come they have a good time? And Jesus says, well, you know, they're going to, but not right now. Because the image that he gives of the kingdom of God is like a wedding feast. It's like a banquet, a celebration. And he says, I'm the bridegroom. And while I'm here with them, they're going to celebrate. They're going to eat and drink. Then when I go and ascend to be with the Father, as Fred was telling the children, disciples will fast. Because they're going to wait till the day that I come back and fulfill that kingdom. Make all of God's promises fulfilled. And then Jesus tells these two little parables. The first is the one about the garment. You know, you don't take an old garment with a tear or a hole and take a new piece of cloth and patch it. You know, because the new piece of cloth will shrink. And the old garment has already shrunk and it will stretch and it will tear. Now, when I think of this, I think of the days when I used to run around a mile from my house and I'd tear a hole in my jeans, and we had those iron-on patches. You remember those? From Sears? Nowadays, you just throw your jeans away. Or you buy them with the holes already in them. And then he says, in a similar parable, and if you have an old wineskin, you don't put new wine in it. Now, the people there would have understood this immediately, because wineskins were made with goat leather. And the goat leather, when the wineskin was new, had not yet stretched. And you put the new wine in, and it would ferment, and it would create pressure, and it would stretch the skin. So then after you drank all your wine, if you put new wine in an old wineskin, well, it had already stretched. And when it started to ferment, it would create pressure, and it would burst. And all your wine would be on the ground, and you would be sad. So what's Jesus trying to tell us? Well, in some ways, maybe that old wine has lost its usefulness. That somehow it's either bad or it's no longer worth drinking anymore. There's a story about three generations of women. Grandmother, her daughter, and her granddaughter. And the granddaughter says to her mom, who's cutting a ham in the kitchen, Mom, why do you cut the ends off the ham before you put it in the oven? And she says, well, I don't know. Your grandmother used to do it. So she turns to her mom and she says, Mom, why do we always cut the ends off the ham before we put it in the oven? And the grandmother says, well, back when your dad and I were first married, we had this little oven, and we used to have to cut the ends off the ham to put it in the oven. What kind of old wine do you have in your life that maybe has outlived its usefulness? Or in the church? You know, Jesus, and this is the part that surprises me at the end of the passage, Jesus says, anybody who drinks old wine says it's better. Now, I would have thought that he was going to say that new wineskins and new wine are better. But he says the old wine is better. And I guess, you know, as I thought about that, I thought, well, maybe he's just trying to say that in his day, church people don't like change. Not in our day, right? Not in this church. Whenever I say that, I get nervous laughter. Well, let me suggest to you some things about the old wineskins and the old wine and the new wineskin and the new wine. I want to suggest that the old wineskin is the law, the Ten Commandments, God's gift to the people of the law. And that the old wine was the people of God, the community of God that was to love God and love others in this community that really represented the divine. But somehow, that old wine had gone bad. By Jesus' day, It wasn't a community of people who loved God and loved others. It had become a religion of rules and regulations that decided who was in and who was out, and most of the people were out. You know, the tax collectors and the sinners. And I want to suggest that the new wineskin is the kingdom of God, what Jesus was talking about, this new reality, this new framework in which, you know, the last are first and the humble are exalted and the least and the last and the lost are valued. And the new wine, did I say new wineskin? I think I said new wineskin. And the new wine is God's grace. God loving us no matter what. So what can we learn from this passage? Well, two things quickly. I think the first is that if you want to have old wine, because Jesus says old wine is better, right? If you want to have old wine, you got to make new wine. If you have a bunch of old wine and you sit around drinking it, what's going to happen? One is it's going to be gone or it's going to go bad. If you want to have something that's good, you got to do something new to get there. You know, this year, I'll have the cards in the back, but this year we decided not to print brochures. We used to print 10,000 of them, 20 pages, color glossy, mail 7,000, and then we get the calls like this. I know you sent me a brochure, but I don't know where I put it. It's in a stack of mail somewhere. Could you send me another? Everything's online nowadays, so we put our brochure online. I love the summer Sunday school servant search. That's new wine, right? Doing something new. What about you? What new wine might you be called to make? And then finally, if you want to have new wine, if you want to have old wine, you don't have to just make new wine, you have to make lots of it. Winemakers know this. They don't just make one lot. They use different varietals, they use different blends, different types of barrels, different aging periods. They make lots of different lots so that they can get the one really good one. You know, everything you do that's new doesn't have to succeed. In fact, Carrie was saying about summer Sunday school that it's failed the last 2 years. Well, that's not a failure. You've learned something. You've learned that maybe you have to have a different way to recruit volunteers so you have a Sunday summer school servant search. I did say that, right? The point is this. You don't have to make the stakes so high that if it doesn't work, it feels like a failure. You can try something. And if it doesn't work the way you want, it's a learning experience. And then you try something else, and then you try something else. Jim Walker, who is the co-founder of Hot Metal Bridge Church in Pittsburgh, Jim is an ordained United Methodist minister. He partnered with a Presbyterian minister, and I guess the idea was hatched in a tattoo parlor. So it sounds like new wine to me. He calls it rapid prototyping. Keep trying new things. Not everything's going to work. Learn from what doesn't work. Build on what does. God will make something of it. So what new wine is God calling you to make? In your life? In the church? God's promise is that if we're willing to take the step of faith, God will use it. Not just to bless us, but so that God, we can bless others in God's name. Amen.